Well, can we all say amen? Amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you for singing for us. The Indian Ocean is the third largest ocean in the world. It has depths of 6,000 to 18,000 feet. And often, very often, matter of fact, 2 to 12 times a year, on the Indian Ocean, typhoons and monsoons occur. And these violent storms go in a circle, 100 to 400 miles in diameter, and wind velocities of 75 to 150 miles an hour, and rain falls in torrents. I mean, terrible, terrible storms. Before navigators learned how to cope with them, there were a lot of loss of ships and a lot of loss of lives. They didn't know how to handle the storms that came up suddenly on the Indian Ocean. But they've learned how to cope with them. Navigators say now, and a sea captain says this, when we run into them, we locate the center and we go around it. And we narrow the circle inside of the storm until we get to the center of the storm. And when you get in the center of the storm, everything is safe as long as you stay in the center. There's dead calm in the center of the storm. In the center is the only place that you are actually safe. Now, Christ speaks with authority and finality to us and says these words, when you're in the center of my will, everything else will always be okay. When you find where God wants you to be and you get where God wants you to be and you stay in the center of God's will, let the storms come. Thank God everything is calm in the center of His will. God wants us to find His way. And I'll tell you, I'll make a stiff statement. You might not believe this. I'd rather be this morning in the heart of Africa, in the will of God, than on the throne of England, out of the will of God. Oh, me, the will of God. The will of God. The only way you ever will be happy is to discover God's will for your life and be willing to follow His will. Because if you get in God's will, it relieves a whole lot of tension and pressure and stress when you really actually believe that you are where God wants you to be. Now, I'm going to talk to the church just a moment, and I'm going to ask you, as Cedar Grove, is Cedar Grove in the will of God? Preachers have come and gone. Is the church in the center of God's will? Think about it. Think about it. Lightning has hit the building twice. Are we in the center of God's will? Preachers have come. Preachers have gone. Church doesn't change a whole lot. Is Cedar Grove in the will of God? Things prosper when you're in God's will. And not only can individuals be out of God's will, I think churches can be out of God's will. Let me help you understand something. People say, well, what is God's will? I'll tell you what God's will is not. God's will is not for you as a child of God to stay out of His house and drop by ever so often to see how things are going. That's not God's will. God's will says not to forsake the assembling of yourself together. So God wants us as children to come together. I'll tell you another one. It is not God's will when you get perturbed and upset to hold your money back on the giving to God when the money doesn't belong to you to start with. It belongs to God. You get mad at me, get mad at Tim, and we say, well, we'll show them. We'll just withhold our money. No, you ain't showing anything. What you're doing is hurting the furtherance of the church and the mission endeavors of the church and the work of God's church. Be very careful. You withhold your money from God, God will get His part back. That's not God's will. People say, well, it's God's will for me to just keep my money at home. I can do better things with it. It's not God's will. You say, it's God's will for me. I'll just send my money to these TV preachers and all these people on TV. That's not God's will. God says for you to support your church that you're a part of. That's very clear. And I'll tell you something else that's not God's will. It is not God's will for us to run around with malice and hatred in our heart towards somebody in our family. You know who's in our family? Everybody who knows the Lord Jesus Christ is a part of our family. And if they're a part of our family, according to God, we're supposed to love other family members. I don't always agree with my earthly family. I don't always agree with my heavenly family. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I'd rather be in the family of God today than out of the family of God. And so that's some simple thing. I had a person to tell me he could see the steeple of our church. He says, when it's God's will for me to go to church, I'll go to church, preacher. I'll tell you one thing. It's God's will for you to be in church. It's God's will for you to support your church. It's God's will for you to love the people in your church. That's his will. And I don't have to give you much scripture to base that. You know that for a fact. It's not God's will to do those things. You realize you can do some good things. But you'll never do the best things until you discover unmistakably clear and exhaust your energy, time, and talent doing God's will. What always fascinates me is there's always a handful of folks who feel like they know God's will for everybody else's life but their own. Church is scary. Scary. If I'm not supposed to be at Cedar Grove, I don't want to be at Cedar Grove. If God doesn't want me at Cedar Grove, I don't want to be at Cedar Grove. And I know you say, that's good. We don't want you at Cedar Grove. But I'll tell you this, listen to me very carefully. It is God who must determine what his will is for our lives. It's God's determination. You can notice what James has to say about God's will in James chapter number 4 in his closing words. Let me give you an example of some people who stepped out of the will of God and what happened to them in the Bible while we turn to this passage. You remember old Lot? He stepped out of the will of God and Lot caused all kind of trouble and got himself in a mess. You remember that? You remember old David? He caused a lot of heartache when he got away from God's will for his life. He took his eyes off of God, and boy, he paid the price for it because he stepped out of the will of God. Jonah, hundreds of sailors almost lost their lives simply because one man would not accept God's will for his life. One man. Achan, wife, children, 36 innocent soldiers, blood stained the sands of the city of Ai. Now, I'll tell you what you need to do if you lived in that day. Explain how you can be out of the will of God to those women who had to try to rear children along because Achan had missed the will of God and it cost them their husbands' lives. Where does God want you? Really, life's too short to wonder. Where does God want you and what does God want you to do? What does God want for our church? I'll tell you very simply what God wants for our church. God wants us to come together like we've never been together before and reach our community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Put our hands to the plow and get our tongues right with God and start reaching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And quit worrying about minute details that really don't make a hill of beans. If it doesn't have anything to do with man's life and eternity, then we ought not worry about it. That's what God's will is. We don't have to sit and debate in conference, and we don't have to do a secret ballot vote. We're sitting here in a half-dark sanctuary today because of the power of God through a lightning strike that shut down a bunch and burn up some of our lights and our dimmer switches. And I'll tell you one thing, if a power of God can do that with one strike, God can set us on fire too if he decides to do so. And so we need to just get together. The only time you're to have two teams is on a ball court or a baseball field or a football field. You're not have two teams in the church. We're on the same team, whether you like it or not. We've been bought with the same price. We've been paid for by the red flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole church, and listen, the whole church is out of the will of God if we don't follow the leadership of God. I'm nothing. I'll admit to that. I'll make mistakes. I'll admit to that. I'll say that I'm just a no-count sinner saved by God's grace, but if you'll go stand in front of the mirror, you're just as bad as I am. So we got to determine what God's will is for our life. Preachers can come and go at Cedar Grove. Music men can come and go at Cedar Grove. But until we decide we want to be where God wants us to be, we'll never be where God wants us to be. Never will be. Never will be. Never will be. Could it be that God put us in the dark to remind us that some of us have been in the dark for years of what God's really wanted in the life of the church? What is God's will? What is God's will? What is God's will? There's some profitable watches. And there's some things you better watch out for in your life if you're going to be in the will of God. Start with me at verse 13 and look at what it says. Go to now. Ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year. And we're going to buy and sell and get gain. Stay right there. Look at that for just a moment. Here's what he tells me. That I better watch my assumptions of life. I can assume a great deal of things and it not be God's will. I can assume that you're right. You can assume that I'm right and it not be God's will. You better watch some of your assumptions in life. A doctor called one of his patients into his office to deliver some very important news. And the doctor looked at this young man and he said, I have received results of your tests and I have some bad news and good news. The patient sat there scared to death. He said, can you share with me, doctor, the good news quickly? The doctor said, I'll be glad to. He said, you only have 24 hours to live. And the young man sat there and he gasped a little bit. He said, if that's the bad news, doc, what's the good news? He said, I was supposed to have told you that yesterday. You can assume a lot of things. They assumed that their pathways were theirs to choose. They said, let us go. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. Oh, they were strutting around like they were in charge. I want you to understand, God has a pathway for our lives. God has a pathway for this church. God didn't call us to be Calvary, and God didn't call us to be First Baptist of Belden. God called us to be Cedar Grove, and God expects us to follow the pathway He has for us. We can reach people that Calvary can't reach. We can reach people that the First Baptist can't reach. They can reach people that we can't reach. It's a team effort and a team affair. And guess what? Quit assuming that your pathway is yours to choose. It's not. God has a design plan for your life. God does. He has a pathway for us to go and trod. And I've got to determine, you know what it says in the Bible? If you go back to Solomon, what Solomon had to say, it says that he will direct our paths. God will. Listen, listen. If there were no crossroads in life, if there were no forks in the road in life, if there were no detours in life, we wouldn't need His help. But I've got news for you. We stand at crossroads and we have to take detours and there are forks in the road every day. And so therefore we better make sure that we're on His pathway. If I'm out of the will of God, pastor in Cedar Grove, then I'll tell you one thing. My life won't be blessed nor will yours be blessed. We got to determine what our pathway is. Where does God want us? The steps of a good man are ordered. They were making some assumptions that their pathway was theirs to choose. They assumed that their progress was theirs to control. You see what they said? We're going over to a certain city, and we're going to stay there a year. And that's right, that's right. How do you know? They were boldly, matter of fact, boldly declaring that what they were going to do. Church, have you stopped and realized who controls the continuation of life? It's not you, it's God. I hope I'm able to do some things tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. I better not wait till tomorrow. I better not. They made their plans without God. God's nowhere included in their plans. You will not be successful in life when you minus God out of your life. You won't be. My parents brought me into this world, but they have no control over the continuation of my life. My heart will stop when God determines it's time for my heart to stop. And therefore, since He controls my progress, I've got to understand, it's not that I'm going to go do this and I'm going to go do this. We better say, if God wills for me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. And it's not up for me as the pastor to say we're going to do this as a church. And it's not up to you to say we're going to do this as a church. It's not up to the deacons to say we're going to do this as a church. No, it's up to us to say if it's God's will, this is what we want God to do through us in His church. We make some false assumptions that we're in control when we're not in control of one thing. I'm not in control of nothing, and you're not either. God is. They also assumed that their possessions were theirs to claim. They said, we're going to stay there a year, we're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. We're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. We're going to buy, we're going to sell, we're going to get gain. It's not yours to claim. If God gave you talent, God gave you talent, you didn't just become talented. If God's given you a house, you didn't just obtain a house, God gave you a house. If you got a job today, as good as you may think you are, it didn't have anything to do with what you put down on that little sheet that you filled out when you were interviewing for that job. If you have a good job today, guess who gave you that job? God gave you that job. God gave you that job. Buy, sell, worthy ambitions. Getting gain, being industrious, having burning desires and ambitions, wanting to be successful in the business world is what they were doing. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with what they said. Nothing wrong except this. It seems cold and calculated and commercial when God is not even consulted. We're living in a commercial life and a commercial world. But I want you to understand something. A decision should never be made without first checking with God. Don't assume that you've got plenty of time. Don't assume your progress is yours to control. Don't assume God is still in charge of your life. False assumptions. Every time we make plans without asking God for guidance, we're asking for trouble. You know something? We must make sure we stay in God's will. I may plan a lot of things. They had it all figured out. Did you know something? They had it all figured out. They had the when, today or tomorrow. They had the where, this or that city. They had the hows, spend a year. They had the what, do business. They had the why to make money. They had it all figured out. But the only problem is they figured it out without God. You don't figure out anything without God. Watch your assumptions in life. Look at verse 14. Not only should we watch our assumptions in life, we should watch our attitudes in life. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Now, you can tell a lot about a person's attitude. You can tell about how parents feel about you if you ask the children. Because children's going to be honest for what they heard. We can tell a lot about the attitude of our church by the attitude of us. And it's not what's said inside the sanctuary that really makes the difference. It's what's said outside of the sanctuary that tells people who we are, what we're all about. Watch our attitude. Watch our attitude. James gives us several significant reasons why we should never pursue our future with the wrong attitude. Here's what he said. Life is unpredictable. We don't know what's going to happen tonight, much less next week or next year. The truth is, nobody can predict the future. I don't care if you've got a little gold ball somewhere, you can't predict the future. I don't care if you're into all this astronomy stuff and all this horoscope stuff. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody can predict the future. There's not but one person in charge of the future, and that's God. Life is one big if. If you look in the center of the word life, L-I-F-E, you find the word if. If. Right in the middle. If. Life is pretty iffy. So my attitude must be this. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I belong to the one who holds tomorrow. Did you get that? Since life is so iffy, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but thank God I belong to the one who holds tomorrow. Life is so unpredictable. What's your attitude about life? Life is also so unmeasurable. He said it's like a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. The Greek word atmos, which comes from the word atmosphere, where we get our word atmosphere, which is that invisible layer of water, vapor that encircles our planet. Our lives are like a mist in the grand scheme of things. And a little time is all you have. All you have. It doesn't matter if you live to be 100. It's a short little time down here. Be wise with your time. For he says, it vanisheth away. Teenagers say, tomorrow can't get here fast enough. School will be over with. I'll graduate. Tomorrow can't get here fast enough. The senior says, tomorrow's here already. Life gets gone. The atheist says, there's no tomorrow. The Christian says, there's plenty of hope for tomorrow. What's going to happen next week? I don't know. But I'll tell you something, God does. And so since life is so unmeasurable, I'm just going to rely on God, knowing that he's taking care of my tomorrow. Watch your assumptions in life, your attitudes in life. And James says in verse 15 that you watch your acknowledgments of life. Here it says, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. For ye ought to say, if the Lord's will, we shall live. And if it's the Lord's will, we're going to go down into the city and we're going to try to buy a few things and sell a few things and make us a little bit of money. If the Lord wills. For a believer to leave God out of his plan is an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency. For a church to leave God out of their plans because they think they can control it without him is a sign of an arrogant assumption of self-sufficiency. And I want you to understand something. There's not a person in this building who don't need God, and there's not a church in this county or state who doesn't need God. Just because we sit under a steeple doesn't mean we're where God wants us to be. A tremendous recognition. If the Lord wills it, it will be done. If I will it, it may never get done. If God wills it, it will always get done. He who wills it wills the power to produce what he wills. God does. Is God's will important? You better believe God's will is important. I'm such a firm believer at this. Now you think about this far. This is a very stiff statement, but you listen to this. If I am in the will of God, doing the will of God, and God's not finished with me yet, nothing's going to happen to me. You hear what I said? If you're in God's will, doing what God wants in your life, and God's not finished with you, nothing's going to happen to you. Fire will not burn you. Bullets won't shoot you. Water won't drown us. Planes won't crash and kill us. Automobiles won't wreck and kill us. If God wills it, God will let it happen. If God gets finished with us, He's going to take us home. But until He's finished, we are safe in His will. A tremendous recognition. If God wills. A tremendous realization. We shall live. You know why I can live today? Because of what the Lord said. He said this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. He's the giver of life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the taker of life. He's the substance of life. He's the source of life. And this is the kind of life that has no death. And then there's a tremendous revelation. And do. Did you notice that? And do. You ought to say, if the Lord wants me to do that, what a recognition of the Lord. Oh, we're going to live. What a realization. And do. You don't have to worry about the this and that's with God. God takes care of the this and that's for you. God does. Between birth and going home, God sprinkles the pathway of ever life with ample and sufficient this or that's. I thank God for the this and that's that He sends my way. The this and that's that sustains me every day and keeps me where He wants me to do. Are you doing God's will in your life? Once a man stopped to talk to a farmer who was erecting a new building. He asked the farmer, he said, what's the building going to be? What's it going to be? He said, great big old building. What's it going to be? And the farmer said this, well, if I can rent it as a rustic cabin, I'm going to rent it. But if I can't rent it as a cabin, it's just going to become a cow shed. You know something? God may not want us to live in a rustic cabin. He may want some of us to go back to the cow shed. What's your acknowledgments of life? Verse 16, he says something else. He told us that we've got to watch our adorations in life. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Boasted means an empty boaster. That means a person who boasts about something he thinks he has, but he does not really have it. Any person who goes through this life without God is a false boaster. Here's what he says. And here's what some of us say. We've got it all by, we got it controlled. We're in charge of things. We've got this thing. We got this thing. We can control it ourselves. We have for years, and we can control it now. Can I tell you something? You better be very careful. There's not but one controller, and His name is God. God can remove me. God can remove you. God could move a whole crowd and bring a whole new crowd if God decided to do so. Be careful about our boasting, our pride. Woo! Look at what we've got. Look at this and look at that. Look at we don't have nothing. Absolutely nothing.